and he offers forgiveness. All you got to do is ask, and he'll give it. So I wonder if right now you just need to ask the Lord to forgive you. And now I wonder if there's someone you know who's hurting, struggling, going through some difficult times, that could really use someone interceding for them this morning. I wonder if you would just call their name before the Lord and pray for them. Do you know some folks that are struggling that need your prayers? I wonder if you'd just pray for them right now. And now, I wonder if you would take your prayer request before the Lord. And now as we turn the corner and get ready to go to God's Word, would you have the courage right now? Because it does take some courage to do this. To say before the Lord, Lord, I'm going to open my heart and my mind. Speak to me what you want me to hear and know. And I will realign my life with your truth and your word. I wonder if you have the courage to pray that right now, just in your way. Take that before the Lord. Well, Father, thank you for this time of worship. Thank you, Father, for already what you're going to speak to us through your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Okay, where are Grace Kids? Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, let's tell them we love them. JD has them today. They're under good hands. They got the dean. All right, absolutely. Awesome. Very good, very good, very good. Good to see them. Man, isn't that a great group of kids? Hey, man, that is awesome. We love them. We believe in them. Hey, if we don't celebrate them, the world will. That's right. And we know better what's good for them than the world does, I can promise you that. So it is awesome to see them out there. Well, I gotta start by telling you a story. There's this young preacher who gets out of seminary and he goes to his first church, and you know, everybody's excited, the deacons, the elders, everybody's just pumped. They got a new young preacher out of seminary. So he stands up and delivers a sermon, and man, it is a good one. I mean, a good one. Everybody leaves unbelievably impressed. They're thrilled with them. Everybody, you know how church committees do. They're all patting each other on the back. Yeah, good job, good job. We did a great job this time. This is awesome. So he does a great job. Well, the next Sunday, show up, he preaches the same sermon. I mean, the exact same sermon. And well, the deacons are looking at each other, the search committee sort of looking at each other, going, I wonder if he sort of forgot, you know, does he have something going on up here? You know, not really sure. Well, the third week, the same sermon. I mean, examples that preaches the same sermon. Well, at this point, everybody's falling over. They're thinking, oh, we have made a bad decision. This is horrible. But we'll give them another shot. Well, you know what happened. The very next week, same sermon. Well, this time everybody's had it, right? Because they are done and finished. So they call the young guy over, and they go back into a back room, and they say, what's going on? You have preached the exact same sermon 4 weeks in a row. He said, oh. Says it's easy. Once you start doing this one, I'll preach another one. So there you go. So he was there. He said, absolutely. Once you get this one down, we'll move on. So here's the deal. I'm going to talk to you about something today and over the next 2 weeks that those of you who know me and been around me very long and been a part of Grace, understand this is sort of our theme verse. We do this about once a year, maybe twice a year. We preach the same text. We go over the same information, and here's why. Because it's the very words of Jesus, and it's the very words that Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. You know, there's something true in the world today. The church has made Christianity really hard. We've made coming to Jesus really hard. We've put up a lot of barriers. We've put up a lot of roadblocks. We've put up a lot of rules and regulations. We've added, sometimes with good intention, but we have added layers and layers of do's and don'ts that's been a barrier for people getting to Jesus and the people of God living out their faith firmly. Now, let's just have fun for a minute. Now, some of us here are older than others, and some are younger, so some of you younger folks won't get this. But how many of y'all were raised in a home where you heard stuff like this? It is wrong to go to the movies. Anybody raised on that? Cannot go to the movies. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, really? People, no joke. Years ago, it was sinful if you went to the movies. And this is how it went. Usually some evangelist would come in, you know, because when preachers don't want to address something hard, they hire somebody to do it, right? And that's the sort of how it used to work. So they hire somebody to come in. Okay, here's the things I want you to preach against. Boom, 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 boom. And movies was almost always on the list. So evangelists would come in and start preaching against the movies. You cannot go to the movies. You cannot go to the movies. And they'd be preaching. And he would always sort of come to this point. And I'll tell you, I heard it a dozen times when I was growing up. What's going to happen if you're sitting in that movie theater, and the trumpet sounds, and the Lord returns, and you're sucked up out of there into heaven in the rapture? What are you going to say? What's going to happen? And somebody always said, we're going to miss the rest of the movie. It's pretty much the way that pans out. I mean, you know, the rest of the movie, you're not going to see the rest of the movie. That's how it's going to work. But you're raised with this, and can't go to the movies. Now, some of you were raised with this one. You can't hunt, fish, or play ball on Sunday on the Sabbath. Any of you raised on that one? My grandmother, she is in heaven. I loved her dearly, sweetest, godliest woman I ever knew. Love her, love her, love her, love her. But she had in her mind that on the Sabbath, and in her mind the Sabbath was Sunday, and we know the Sabbath isn't on Sunday. The Sabbath is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, so I love her, but she wasn't really lined up on that. So anyways, on the Sabbath, you couldn't hunt, fish, play ball, or couldn't break a sweat. I mean, it was nothing. Could not do a thing. And only one problem, Jesus never said that. Oops, now I'm getting personal. All right. How about this, ladies? Now, most of us have sort of broken out of this, but remember the dress code? How many of y'all remember the dress codes in church? Men, you had to wear a tie because Jesus did. Right? Ladies, you have to wear a dress because, I don't guess Jesus wore a dress, but I'm sure they had some sort of justification for it. You had to wear a dress, right? You remember that? You could not go to church. And men could never wear short pants. Men, you cannot wear short pants. Listen, I went to my first church, and I had somebody say, preacher, nobody wants to see you walking around town showing off those legs. And if you've seen my legs, they were right. No reason for those things to be seen in public, right? And so, but all of this is well-intentioned. All of this is well-meaning. Nobody created these ideas just to be a drag on your life and on your joy. They really didn't. They meant well by it. They thought by adding all of these rules, they were causing you to walk more holy and live more pious and honor God most. The problem is, Jesus could have said all of that. He could have taught all of that, but he didn't. So the fact that he didn't means that he doesn't want it held up as core doctrine and core beliefs within his church today. So if you have your Bibles, open to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we'll be in verse 34 to begin with. Let me give you a little bit of a background. Many of you know this and remember, but Jesus is having an encounter with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees were an important ruling religious body in the nation of Israel. We've got to remember, Israel had been held captive for hundreds of years. And it would have been easy for Judaism to get watered down and really regulated to insignificance, but they were the folks who kept the law firm and kept the traditions fixed. So from generation to generation, people would understand what it was like to worship God through Judaism. So they held an important job. The problem is, by the time Jesus showed up, they were more important in their mind than God, and the law superseded even the Lord. The law had become what they worshiped. So when Jesus showed up, they didn't see Jesus for who he was, and so the Pharisees got a bad rap. But they did hold a pretty good place, and a healthy place, in the history of Judaism. Now, it was normal, if you were a Jewish rabbi, and Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, it was normal to be asked at some point in your journey, Rabbi, what is your primary teaching? Now, that primary teaching was called a yoke. Many of you heard the scripture, you know, take my yoke upon you. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you because it is easy and light. And we think it's the thing that hooks you to another animal. It's not. It's the primary teaching. Jesus said, my primary teaching is going to be easy and light. My primary teaching isn't going to weigh you down. My primary teaching is going to be clear and simple to follow if you'll just listen. It really will be. I'm not going to complicate it with all this law. The law had been there for a long time. And so the Pharisees, in this context, are confronting Jesus and asking him, now, Jesus, what is it that you want people to know? Now, beneath the surface, here's what they were really saying. Okay, the secret of what they were really getting at was this. When you die and you're gone and your followers are left here, what mess are we going to have to clean up? That's really what they were saying. What are you teaching so when you're gone, we're going to have to go in and fix the problem? And Jesus said, okay, here it is. So, in Matthew 22, beginning of verse 34, the Bible says this. But now the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees. They gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him, talking about Jesus, a question to test him. Now, that testing is to evaluate, not to trick, not to try to back into a corner, but to discover. I mean, all teachers know they give tests not to trick you, but to discover what you know and maybe what you don't know. I always fell on the don't know side. Anybody with me on that one? Yeah, I sort of fell on that side a lot. So he goes on and says, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? All right, so there it is. Jesus, Rabbi, what is the primary teaching? What is it of all the laws, of all the teachings of Israel, what are you saying that is most important? I don't want to hear what other people say. I want to hear what you say. What do you say is most important? He says this. And so he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. Now that last phrase is key because here's what Jesus summarizes that statement with saying this. Anything you've ever heard, anything any other rabbi says, anything any other commentator on what the rabbis have said says, here's what you got to know. If it doesn't line up with loving God and loving people, it isn't legitimate. Jesus begins to narrow what it means to be a Christian. He makes it clear and simple so even a guy like me can figure it out. He makes it clear and simple and he says this, the first thing you got to do is you got to love me. You got to love me. Now by saying that, now there's three different words for love. This word is the word agape love. So what's interesting is we've always attributed that to God loving us in an unconditional, unreserved way. And God does love us like that. He loves us. Listen, he loves you today. Listen, look at me. Because some of you did some stuff last night you don't want to talk about. But I'm going to talk. Hey, you're in church. Be honest. Right? If you can't be honest here, where can you be honest? You did some stuff last night you don't want to talk about. Now I want you to listen. God loves you. God cares about you. He's got a better plan for your life than what you did last night. He's got a better way for you to live than what you did yesterday or what you're planning on doing this afternoon. I promise you he does because he loves you that much and that profoundly. God's love, agape love, is a love with no hooks. See, when God loves us, he doesn't get something better in return because he's already the best. When God loves you, he doesn't get completed because he's already complete. See, as best as we can love on this earth, as the best as we can love, we love because somewhere deep inside of us, we get something in return. We get a feeling. We get an emotion. We get the satisfaction of knowing we're accepted. We get the peace of mind of knowing that somebody's going to walk with us when we're older. We get something back when we love. So as altruistic as you want to be, as sacrificial as you want to be, as much as you want to love, and me too, as God loves, sometimes it's just really hard to do. Because, look, I love my wife unconditionally, but when I love her, you know what? She loves me back, and that makes me better. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all don't have to get so nasty, but it's true. My wife, hey, look, my wife loves me every day, but she likes me about 50% of the time. Anybody on that one? How many of you men can get on that, right? Yeah, you know, she loves me all the time. She likes me about, she flips a coin. Today, okay, Terry, you're in good today, right? I would stand better with the coin flip, okay? Trust me, I would come out better with the coin flip rather than the merit-based stuff, all right? So here's the deal. Jesus, God loves us with this agape love, this amazing love, this love that has no restrictions, that loves you no matter what you do, where you go, or how you are. God loves you with that kind of love. It's an amazing love. So in this context, he says, that's the kind of love you need to reflect back to me. Now, if you've received that kind of love and you understand that kind of love and the Holy Spirit's come and sealed you and dwells inside of you, you're capable to rise closer to that level. Obviously, then without the Holy Spirit, you can't even spell it. But with the Holy Spirit in your life, you're able to begin to walk closer to that level. So what does it look like if we begin to love God with this agape love? Jesus says, you got to love me like that. Well, it means this, that I love you and I trust you no matter what. That's what it looks like as we direct it upwards. God, I love you unconditionally. If you do nothing in my life, you have saved me and changed me, and that is enough. I'll tell you, salvation is enough because here's a Nobel Prize winning thought for you. You ready for this? Y'all write it down, you won the Nobel Prize. You're going to be dead longer than you're alive. Amen. Now, isn't that brilliant? Right, spent all night thinking that one up. Okay, you're going to be dead longer than you're alive, so what comes next is most important. It's a rational mind would say that. Just a logical, rational mind would say what comes next is most important because you're going to be there longer than you're here. Again, just being rational. So if you love God, you look up to the heavens and say, God, I love you and I trust you. Whatever you give from your hand, I receive as a gift from you. Whatever you withhold from me, I receive, Father, that as being best in my best interest. Because here's what I know. You love me and you withhold nothing good from your children that you love and you give what is needed to walk according to your ways. I accept from you, God, what you give and what you withhold. I receive that too as good and as great and as given and restricted by a loving God. Listen, if you love God today, you'll trust Him. Amen. You'll trust Him. But we keep people at arm distance and even the Lord because trust has been broken. So here's what I know today. Some of you in this room, the trust has been broken by the church. You've been a part of a church filled with people and they broke the trust. You struggled. You hurt. You went through some bad times and the church let you down. You were having serious questions about life and faith and purpose and meaning. And nobody around you cared to engage you and help you answer the questions. They all defaulted to the Sunday school answer. Whenever you have a question, the answer is what? Jesus. Amen. Who was on the ark? Jesus. Amen. Right? I mean, they didn't go a step further in helping you struggle with what's called the existential questions of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the meaning and purpose of life? They didn't care to involve themselves at that level. And so you've lost trust. Some of you were abandoned by people you love. And because you were abandoned by people you love, you sort of think God's next in the list to abandon you. You know intellectually that probably isn't true because you're smart. But in your feelings and in your heart, you feel like possibly that might be true. Whoever walked out on you, I'm sorry. But please hear this today if you hear nothing else. God will never walk out on you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never drop you. He will never kick you off the team. He is your loving Heavenly Father. And just as He loves you, He is saying, please, my expectation is for you to love me in return. Love me and trust me with your life. Now, he begins to divide that out in three areas of our lives. He said, first, I want you to love me with your heart. What does that mean? That means your passions. That means those things that stir your heart and stir your emotions and stir your imagination. You've got to be passionate about something. God is saying, first of all, let me be your passion. You got to be passionate about something. What are you passionate about? You passionate about your spouse? I only have four couches at my house, guys. So the first four that show up, get them. All right? So outside of that, the rest of you are on the floor. All right? So I mean, are you passionate about your spouse? Let's collect the offering. I think it'll go better. Are you passionate about your kids? Do you love your kids? When you wake up in the morning, are you happy they're still there or you wish you have sold them on eBay? What is it? I mean, are you passionate about your kids? Man, you guys know how crazy I am about my family, particularly those who've known me for a while. I can't believe the Lord has blessed me as He has, but He has, and I'm thankful. Carson, who That, for those of you who are guests, that was my son leading worship this morning. I'm sort of proud of that. Yeah, he's great. He's great. We get to have breakfast together every morning, every Sunday morning at Huddle House before church. We get to go and eat and hang out and talk and just spend time together. He reminded me today that there's not many of those mornings left because he'll be leaving for college this summer, which I almost broke down and started crying right in the middle of Huddle House. That would have been awesome, all right? Because you know, I'm passionate about my kids. I believe in all of them, Madison, Carson, and Parker. I believe the best for them. They are phenomenal, and I don't want them to leave. I want them to stay, and we will build a compound, and they can all stay with me, all right? That's just how I feel about it. It's just okay if they all stay at home. But it's God's plan, and because I love and trust the Lord, I trust Him with my passions. I love my kids, but God loves them more. I care about my kids, but God cares about them more. See, when God's the center of your life, you begin to find your passions by His greatness, His glory, and who He is. So are you passionate about the Lord today? When was the last time your soul was just stirred because of your passion? And that leads us to the next thing that Jesus said. Jesus said, love me with your heart and with your soul. Now that soul is that eternal aspect of who we are. Everyone in this room is imprinted. You're marked. You're shaped. Listen, we have this in common, that there's an eternal aspect of our nature. We are going to live forever somewhere. We're going to be there longer than we're here. And that soul part, when Jesus says soul, that several things it talks about. One of the things is that eternal aspect of who we are that reaches up and reaches beyond. We're to be captured and captivated by the eternality of God and by the eternality of us when we die. Listen to what Psalm 90 says. Psalm 90 says this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. When was the last time your soul just reached up and thanked God that your eternity is going to be with Him in heaven forever? When was the last time you declared the greatness of God for His everlasting love and presence, generation to generation? Think about this for a minute. Generations ago, people settled in Putnam County. Some of those people loved God and were Christians. The same God who you reach out to today, they reached out to then, and God heard their prayers. He sheltered them under His caring wings, His canopy of love and grace and kindness. And know that if the world is still here generations from now, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren can run to the same God, to the same mountain, and find the same peace and the same acceptance in the presence of the same God, because He's eternal from generation to generation. I love what Rudolf Otto said, and some of you have heard me use this phrase. It's so poetic. It's German phrase, but it's so good that Rudolf Otto wrote a book called The Idea of the Holy back in the 30s. And Otto's book said this. He talked about the mysterium tremendum de fascinats, the great mystery that confounds and captivates our mind. He said that through the noumena and the sense of awe, the spirit and the sense of awesomeness that the spirit can bring on your life, you can be moved, transported in your soul to a place where you are captivated by the mystery and the greatness of God. When was the last time your soul reached up to God in wonder and just declared this awesomeness of His hugeness and you were just captivated by it? When was the last time you thought of God as that expansive? I'm afraid in our culture, and maybe this isn't true with many, but it's true with some. I'm afraid in our culture, we've downgraded God to a cosmic bellhop. And when our soul reaches up, it's only as far as, God, fix the problem. God, do your God stuff over here. Hey, Lord, do that Red Sea miracle. I need something like that right now. And beyond the miraculous, God loses the sense of awesomeness. But I would say something to you today, that the command of Jesus, when it was to love me with all of your heart and with all of your soul, there's a dimension of that that transcends anything and everything God may ever do in your life. and says, love me and worship me for who I am, because I am worthy. And that expansive, eternal God loves you. Amen. Right where you are. Right like you are. No matter what. Amen. Now, doesn't that deserve the same in return? Well, then he says this. Love me with all of your mind. Now, there's three aspects. There's more, but we'll only look at three aspects of what it means to love God with your mind. First of all, there is an academic component. There is an idea that it's hard to love someone you don't know. It's hard to trust someone that you don't know. It's hard to honor someone that you don't know. So there is an academic component. First, and I say academic, the first component of that is relational. You have to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've got a good religion and you can answer the Jeopardy questions and you are really, you know, whiz-bang at Bible trivia, that is awesome. But if you don't know God through the person of Jesus Christ, you do not have a relationship with Him, because that is the only way to know Him. So if you're here today and you don't have that relationship with Christ, at the end of the service, we're going to give you a chance to enter that relationship with Him. But the second aspect of that then is there is an academic portion, and that is the study of God's Word. There is no shortcut to spiritual growth. You can't microwave an increased biblical IQ. That's not how it works. Listen, when I was a kid, I wasn't a great student. I tried everything, you know, sleeping on my books and laying them on my chest and asking God to transport the words. And, hey, was I the only student on test day I prayed for the rapture? Anybody else ever do that? Am I the only student that I used to pray all the time? God, I know you're coming back. Today's a good day. Because I am not ready for what's coming up. Obviously, I live to flunk another day. So, sort of happens like that. There's an academic portion to our faith. You have to learn God's Word. You have to study God's Word. We do that here on Sunday morning. We have Sunday school, first service and second. We have Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through the book of Acts right now. Great time for you to come and learn. We have women's Bible studies. We have a great men's class. There are opportunities here for you to connect and study and learn God's Word at a deeper level. Our life groups are not so much deeper life groups, but they're great connecting times. That every periodically at our place, we actually learn something about once every 3 months. So not a bad place to come. You'll gather something. So loving God with your mind, there is an academic portion. Next, there's the daily thought life. You have to think something. I mean, I know some of us challenge that, right? Some of us challenge that proposition that you have to think something. You know, my wife looks at me often, what are you thinking? Nothing. And she believes me. She believes it's possible to have nothing in my head, right? I mean, and if you, it is a possibility. But we have to think something. So why not dedicate your thoughts to things of God? Why not dedicate your thoughts to things that are good, that are noble, that are just, that are dignifying, that causes you to advance in your relationship with the Lord than grind an axe with someone you haven't forgiven? Why not think about those things that cause you to be better? How do you start the day? Determines oftentimes what you think. Before you get out of the bed, have a tradition. I've told you mine a million times. I'm not saying mine is right. I'm saying it works for me. You find your own, and I bet it'll work for you. But before I get out of the bed, I'm doing the Apostles' Creed. We do it here every day. I'm praying the Lord's Prayer and breaking it down by section. I've preached on it twice since we've been here at Grace. I'll preach on it again, because each section of the Lord's Prayer guides your thought life if you let it. It will guide your thought life to a better place. It will guide your life to a better place. It's not a prayer that you pray as a mantra to fix everything, but Jesus prayed it as a guide to guard your mind and your heart. And so before I get out of the bed, it's the Apostles' Creed, it's the Lord's Prayer, and then I thank the Lord for the day He's going to give me. I mean, that's what works for me. May not work for you, but find what does. You've got to do something before you get up and get your mind right, because if you don't actively get your mind right, the world will lead it wrong. That I can promise you. So get your mind right. Daily thoughts. Then the last aspect of the mind are your beliefs. Your beliefs are simply those things that you hold to be true over and against, sometimes fact and reality. A lot of us struggle with faulty beliefs. Some of you were raised in churches, and I don't, please, I'm not trying to be ugly today, I promise I'm not. But some of you were raised in churches where there was a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. There was just a lot of stuff heaped on you. And you believe that God's up there ready to zap you at the first turn. Again, if God wanted to zap you would be. He doesn't have to wait. God's not interested in paying you back. He's interested in getting you back. And that's through the process of asking for forgiveness and returning to the Lord. That's what God wants out of your life. But if you're raised with belief that God's ready to zap you, then there you go. Your beliefs will dictate how you act and react. If for some reason you've never seen God do the miraculous in a relationship and your relationship's on the rocks, you won't pray well. You won't try hard. You'll give up pretty quick. And guess what? Your belief system will drive you to that. But you're in a community of faith now. You're in a community of believers where this community of brothers and sisters have seen God do the miraculous in relationships and restore them. There's testimony of that in this room. Some of you are facing medical problems. And best you can tell, God hadn't healed anybody in a couple thousand years. May I say respectfully and kindly, you're wrong. You're wrong. Your belief is wrong. God does heal. Amen. We have people in this church, God has healed. Right here in this church, God's healed them. And here's the thing, if you're struggling with a wrong belief system, when sickness or injury comes upon you, you're not going to pray to a heavenly Father who wants to deliver, because in your mind, that's like praying to an empty heaven. Man, you're just going to suck it up, go to the doctor, and resign your life to everything that can be explained by medical science, not the miraculous working of the power of the Holy Spirit. But you're in a community of faith now. Amen. So there are people who can tell you, God has touched me and God has healed me. And what he did for me, he can do for you because he loves you that much. Amen. Jesus ended the first part of this little teaching to the Pharisees by saying, you want to know the first thing? You love God with everything you have. And the second is you love your neighbor as yourself. Next week, we're going to talk about that and see how God will encourage us and change us in that journey. Amen? Amen? Pray with me if you will. Just challenging you to create a little space right there for you to respond to what the Holy Spirit spoke into your life today. I would never ask you to embarrass yourself or anything like that. But just there where you sit, in your heart and in your mind, has God spoken to you about your love for him? Have you come to the place where you know that maybe I've not loved God like I should? I like God, really like him, but I've not really loved him like I should. Do you need to tell God you're sorry? Next, it's possible that someone's in this room today that doesn't know Christ personally. Here's what you need to do right there where you said, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, if he's awakened within you faith to believe, here's what you do. Just say, Jesus, it's me. Thank you for letting me pray. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you resurrected from the grave on the third day. I right now declare you Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Holy Spirit, please come in and seal me now and be my guide as I seek to live and walk for Jesus every day. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer, we're going to be done in just a minute, and I'm going to be down front, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. We don't twist arms or try to emotionally manipulate. We don't do that here. We make a clear appeal to your heart and to your mind with the gospel. If God has awakened faith in you today, if God has called you today, if you have stepped out of darkness into light today, please, I invite you to come down and see me when the service is over so we can talk about baptism and we can make sure you have a Bible and make sure that you're on the right track, because we love you that much. We just want to help you. And then finally, Let's go ahead and start preparing for next week. Next week, someone needs to be here who's not, and you know them. I wonder if you'll make a phone call or drop by someone's house, shoot them an email or a text, and invite them. Invite them to come and sit with you. Because next week might be the week that God changes their life forever. And you can be a part of that process. Well, Father, these are your people, sheep of your fold. You love them with an unbelievable love. And Father, you have spoken to them in a way they need to hear today. So I pray that they'll be faithful to respond. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you. Ryan, come on up. Ushers, come on forward. Ushers, come on forward. As ushers come forward, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. Let me remind you of just one thing real quick. This little card, if you're a guest, please fill that out. Put it in the offering plate if you can. If not, please put it in a box. Prayer request, everybody, please let us know how we can pray for you. Pray through my list this morning. This helps us out so much when you tell us how to pray for you. Please, please let us know how to pray for you because we really want to do that. So please do that. We give here at Grace for three reasons, and here's why. We give because Jesus is Lord, because the gospel is the most important message in the world, and because Jesus said, not me, Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. So if your treasure's in the work of the kingdom, your heart's going to be in the work of the kingdom. And man, we just want your heart to be connected with the Lord. We really do. Let's pray. Well, Father, pray now that as we give generously because you are a generous God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ryan.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. We've got some cool stuff happening in church. Just check your bulletins out. I'm not going to read them all to you. But April the 27th, that's two Fridays from this past Friday, the youth are going to go to the Florida Gator baseball game. That is a Friday night. We'll meet here at 4:30. The tickets are $4. So parents or students, take your $4, put them into an offering envelope, drop in the box. Miss Judy's creating that list for us. $4 gets you in, and then make sure that you bring food for hamburger, hot dog, Coke, whatever you want. But the Gators are rocking it in baseball, so we're going to go watch them beat up on Auburn that night. And so beat up that other Alabama school. You know, I mean, so it's there.
Just destroy them. That's all
exactly,
I'm saying. You know, go Gators.
I mean, exactly. Right? Go. Did you guys hear that? That will be on the recording this week.
Hey,
Terry said, go Gators.
It comes to Auburn. Beat them like a drum, right?
May the 20th is going to be our senior recognition Sunday. So if you're a graduating senior, I need to make sure that I have you on my list. Parents, grandparents, if you've got a graduating senior that normally comes, and they might not be here this morning, but you know them, please come and see me. I've got a list of about 20 students. I had one on there who I thought was a senior, come to find out he's only a sophomore. That's how mature he is. And I was like, wow, okay, awesome. So I've still got you for two more years, which is exciting. But please make sure that you give me your name so that I have that. There's an announcement in there for you on that. And then Wednesday night meal, just like normal, 5:30 this week. 6:30, everything will start. And I think we're adding something new this week, aren't we? Wednesday night? You're holding it in your hands.
Yes.
That was a great segue. Did you notice that? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about to read this.
Right there.
You
got that?
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you. We are adding this Wednesday night. It says, I was broken, now I'm not. Okay, everybody's quiet. All right. You're all broke. Just had the offering, right? So you're all broke, right? This is going to be facilitated by Lisa Preston and Dave Lang. It is a basic seminar on how to get a grip on your finances. If your finances have eluded you, evaded you, if you've never been able to get on top of it, this is going to be a good first step for you. I promise you it will. Come and be a part. It's in your program. Please look at that to be sure. Also, Robin. Robin's got an announcement. Robin, come on up.
Yes. Starting next week on Thursday nights, we're going to be doing a six-week study called The Daniel Plan, which is a book that was written by Rick Warren a couple of years ago. I feel like my entire life I've been trying to lose weight, and the times that I've been really successful are the times where I just put everything aside, all the the get thin quick plans and all that, and just focused on eating healthy, getting a little bit of exercise, and finding somebody else that wanted to do the same thing. And that's what the Daniel Plan does, and it's a really great 6-week study, and I've found it to be really helpful for me. And I'm going to be leading this with Leanne Hepler. She's a personal trainer and really, really smart when it comes to this stuff. And again, it's going to be Thursday nights starting next week. We're going to meet from 6 to 8 in the evening in the conference room at the radio station. So if any of y'all are interested in checking it out, please get with me, and we'd love to have you.
Great. Thanks, Robin. Final thing. I need some help. Let me tell you sort of what's... Shut up, Driggers. Driggers over there going, yeah, he does need some help. Yeah. But I just said, about a year ago, over a year, Lord led us to start a ministry called Grace for Your Journey. Some of you hear it on Hope FM. It's a little one-minute devotional that comes on in the morning and the afternoon. Well, God's opened up some opportunities to perhaps expand that a little beyond our borders here in Putnam County. But we need a student or someone who has some free time in the afternoon to help us. And what it would be is you would learn how to do some audio editing and what else, Robin? Uploading to websites and stuff like that. It won't take long. The first part is we have a backlog. So we got to work through the backlog first of getting all the minute things that we have done. We got to get them edited, got to get them formatted. So there's a little work there. But after that's done, it'll be just week-to-week management. But if you're a student, you'll get some community service hours for that. If you're someone who's just looking for something fun to do, maybe some ministry involvement, we really could use you. And sooner rather than later. So I'm going to be up here afterwards, and I will connect you with Robin. She promises if you're computer savvy at all, you can learn this. All right, so you know if that applies to you or not. We need people with actual, not aspirational computer skills, right? Okay, so we need people who really can do this to be sure. And so want to encourage you to please come and help for sure. Well, as we close the prayer, I'm going to invite a good friend of mine up. Jace, can you come on up? Jace Fauché, come on up. Everybody say hi to Jace. Hey, Jace. Fauché's have been coming for a while now, of course, know the family real well. I'm going to stand up here, Jace, so I'm as tall as you, all right? You can see how tall he is, because if I'm down here, it doesn't work, right? So that's just how it works. Jace is taking a step. Let me see that right here, right? Let Jace tell you. Jace, tell us where you're going next week, buddy.
San Antonio.
For what purpose?
Air Force.
He's joining the United States Air Force. That's right. Having served in the Air Force for, many of you know, 8 years, I was a chaplain, got out as a major. How many people served in the United States Air Force? Let's see your hands. How many of you weren't smart enough to get into the Air Force had to go in the Army? All right, so there you go. Da-da-da-da-da. There you go. All right. There we go. But Jace is leaving, and Mom and Dad are excited, encouraged. But as a parent, there's a little bit of trust in God in this. There's a little bit of, it's a little bit different when dads go off and fight. It's another thing when your children go off and fight. Whole different ball game. It was one thing when I raised my hand and picked up a gun in the Army, because I was an artillery officer there, and went and do it. It's another thing when you see kids and young men that you love going off to do the same. Jace needs our prayers. The Fauché family needs our prayers. And so I'm going to ask you to stand, and as you stand, we're going to have a dedication prayer for Jace, and he's going to be up here. Those of you who served, don't come tell him a bunch of scary lies, but do come and encourage him with the truth, because we love him, we believe in him. Jace, we believe God's going to do great things with you, buddy. We love you so much, and we believe in you. Now you're going to come back with that haircut, right? Okay, all right. He's going to come back and see us. Let's pray together. Well, Father, it's been a wonderful day. Thank you so much for our church, for our fellowship. Thank you for grace and mercy, kindness, forgiveness. Thank you that you love us with an unbelievable love. Lord, I pray for Jace right now. He's my brother and my friend. And Lord, he has heard the call to take up arms in defense of this great land. So I pray you'll be with him, that you will bless him, amen, that you will keep him safe. Lord, watch his six. Give him wisdom. Father, bring him home to us safely. Lord, be with his mom and dad. Bless them as they learn to trust you in this new stage, this new journey of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless y'all. Stay right.
world is not what it was meant.